Back with Dr. Kevin Most. I'm turning switches off, turning switches on. Don't let me touch anything.
Don't touch that. You're right.
That's the greatest success for this show is if I don't get to touch stuff. Brought to you by Northwestern. What's that?
Hey, it's Monday. You're new to this job, so.
you would think I could handle it by now. Right. Brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. By the way, we should congratulate our friend Dr. Most. Mm. He has a vacation home of sorts, if you will, in North Carolina, and he just closed on it now and is officially broke.
Oh.
Yes, he has no money left at all.
So cancel our weekend plans to go down there and stay in the house.
No, he had to sell it. He closed on it on Thursday, sold it Friday.
No, it will be a very nice place for all of you to visit, and it's amazing how you buy a house and then the cost start to go after that.
Yep, without a doubt. All right, so here's where we stand with this bill. It's allegedly going to get voted on in the Senate on Wednesday, assuming they pull off some miracle, because it looks like they're going to need one now, and it gets to the House. The House would still have to pass it. But turning over all of this to the states, start with the Medicaid piece of this. What does it mean?
Yeah. So the way Medicaid works right now, depending on what state you live in, a portion of Medicaid is paid for by your state budget, and a portion of it is paid by the federal budget. So people think, oh, I thought Medicaid was a state issue. No, it's federal as well as state. So what this bill says is, you know what, state of Illinois, and I'm making these numbers up, you spent $250 million on Medicaid last year. That was the federal government's portion to your constituents. We are going to give you that $250 million, and that's it. We're done. Because the way Medicaid works now, it's a per-click, essentially. So it was $250 million, but let's say we had a really bad flu season or something really bad happened. It could have been $300 million from the federal government side, because they would pay as patients used it. What they're saying is the line's drawn in the sand. Here it is. Now you manage the money. And as a matter of fact, you better manage it really well, because in a couple of years, we're going to start to cut it, and we're going to cut it more, and we're going to cut it more.
The idea with the majority of the states in this country being broke, that block grants would be turned over to the states, and there would be hope that they would spend it on the right things, with no specific wording that I've seen in the legislation that limits them to spend it the way the government says they should. You can't predict the future. And if the states continue to be broke, they're going to move money where they need to move it, which creates an even bigger health care crisis, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the other thing this bill allows the states to kind of mold it, saying, okay, we understand you're going to only have a limited amount of funds here. Now you decide how you're going to do that. So this would allow them to drop things. It would allow them to remove many things that are in the federal insurance regulations. So it would allow them to charge older patients more. It would allow them to minimize or not totally cover some illnesses or injuries. So I think it's dead in the water, to be honest with you. You already have McCain saying no, Rand Paul saying no, Cruz saying no, Murkowski saying no. I can tell you that it was a large portion of our talk, our discussion last week in Washington. And everyone, I don't know y'all understand that the timing of this has to be done by Saturday, mm-hmm. because the reconciliation period ends on October 1st. And reconciliation is what allows the federal government here, the Senate, to pass something with just a simple majority. But it must be something that impacts the federal budget. Those are the limits, and this is the way that they're going to try to do it, but I don't think they're going to. It also eliminates the employer mandate and the individual mandate as well. So I think it's not going to go anywhere, but it's still kind of interesting that we're even pushing it.
Yeah, because we sort of thought this was over. And once again, the Democrats were sleeping and the Republicans put this together, but they still don't have the key people they need while so many others rolled over. The most amazing quote that came out of all of this was Senator Grassley from Iowa last week when he said, there's 10 reasons why I couldn't support this bill. But, you know, we made promises, and the promises are as important as the content of the bill. No, they're not. The bill controls people's lives, what they have and what they don't have. The promises controls whether or not you're reelected. For a guy like Grassley, who's been in office that long, to be that jaded and that blind, where he said he could say it out loud and there wouldn't be any consequences, well, maybe there won't be, but there sure as hell should be.
Well, Stephen, I think you're going to start to see the true, I don't even know what to say, about each of these senators and how they vote. And you look at Senator McCain and what he's going through, but he's also looking out for his constituents very well.
Right.
He's saying that this bill has gone too far. And then you have Rand Paul saying it hasn't gone far enough. Well, those two votes right there, depending on which way you swing, is going to impact the other guy as well. You'll start to see some additional money being thrown at some of these states to try to woo some of these guys. But hopefully they're also going to realize that money is only there for a short period of time. And I got to be honest with you, most states are not very good at managing Medicaid money. And given the opportunity or the thought process of this is the only money that you're going to get, you will start to see states making cuts. And that is going to be very difficult to our people.
And when doctors are leaving the business or not getting in the business because they're making 30 cents on the dollar or 35 cents on the dollar for the care that they're giving, these dominoes fall in a particular direction. So you got a brilliant kid who could turn out to be a great doctor who decides, well, no, you know what? I'm going to go into research or I'm going to go do something else with my life and my brain because this is not an appealing profession anymore. We can't have that.
No, we really can't, and I'm telling you, the brain drain portion of it, you're absolutely right. You know, we're telling people now, you know, young kids, hey, go into computer science, go into artificial intelligence, go into cybersecurity. You know, we're not saying, hey, rush to us and come on, medicine is still fun, and that's unfortunate. I mean, a lot of us still feel we're in it for the love of the game. We're in it because it's not because we make a lot of money, and it's not because of, you know, the financial portion of it. It's because we really enjoy what we do. And if you get to a point where you don't wake up in the morning thinking I'm going to make an impact on a patient's life, and you get up saying I didn't make enough money, well, you're in the wrong profession.
So, no, well said. Yeah. But, I'm sure that there are a portion of your folks that do miss the days of doctors being rich and taking every Wednesday off to play golf. But those days are gone, Doc. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, that's right. We changed to Fridays.
Thanks for the update, and I appreciate the information. We were going to talk about over-the-counter meds and prescriptions and things of that nature, but we had to hit the news first, and we'll do that if not by next Monday, maybe even sooner. Thank you, Doc.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
Brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better, and we're back with the news next.